Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? And here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And he ran and he put his arms around him and he kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, he has devoured your property with prostitutes. You killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost, and he has been found.'" This ends the reading of God's word.
Read the same Bible verse every day for 5 straight days. Miss Dorothy Taylor will tell you that even she got tired of rereading the same scripture over and over. We knew the story. Why did we have to read it again? I had it figured out as to who each character was in the scripture. The father figure was God, and the prodigal son was me. I had finally realized that all I needed, love, understanding, and approval, was already there in the arms of my Heavenly Father. I wasn't raised in a church, but I knew who Jesus and God were, and I said I believed. My upbringing was a good one. I don't really remember a lot of my childhood. My parents were divorced in 1981. I went with my mom, and my sister went with my dad. My daddy was in the service at that time, and because of his circumstances, he was able to get out of the Army on a hardship discharge, and him and my sister moved to Pennsylvania, where both my parents are from. Mom and me stayed here in North Carolina. My teenage years were a little rough. I got into some stuff that I shouldn't have. I was looking for a father figure in everything I did. My 9th grade year, I was going to Douglasburg Junior. I was hanging out with the wrong crowd, skipping school. That same year, something made me say to my mom that I wanted to live in Pennsylvania with my dad and sister. I don't know what made me make that decision then, but I know now that it was God working in my life before I truly knew him. I know now that that was grace. I moved to Pennsylvania and finished high school. The day after graduation, I moved back to North Carolina. I think that hurt my dad when I moved, even though he has never said. I met Doug a year later, and we started our family. My dad has never been an emotional man. He wasn't raised that way. But I always knew that he loved me, even though he never hugged or kissed me. I could give my dad a kiss on the cheek, but he would move like this. He'd do this little move. I would always tell him, I love you, and his response would always be, me too. When I was pregnant with Ashley, my dad told me he loved me first, for the first time. It was very emotional for me. I got off the phone crying. My dad has gotten a lot better over the years. He will hug me now and the girls, but he still doesn't like the kissing stuff. He changes the channel and that stuff comes on even when it's just him watching TV. Doug's dad and mom are the complete opposite. When I first met them, I was pregnant with Ashley, and they each came out and greeted me with a huge hug. It was rather intimidating because I wasn't raised that way. It was great, though, because I had finally found a family that showed me the love that I was looking for. Since you know a little bit about me, let's look at the prodigal son. This parable has three main characters, and I decided to start with the oldest son of the story because I don't feel as drawn to him as I do the other two. He was bitter and resentful. Maybe I should say I can feel a little like him at times. I am a very bitter and resentful person at times. Further in my sermon, I will share with you a story about how bitter and resentful I can be. This section of my sermon came to me while I was sleeping Friday night, thinking about what I had already written about the oldest son and the way he acted when the younger one came home. I had originally planned to make my sister the character of the oldest son, but I have come to realize that I am more like him than I first thought. I like to hold grudges and get upset when I see things that should be done but aren't getting done to my satisfaction, but it's not my position to do. It's just irritating to me. So what do? I fume over them. I really need to talk to my Heavenly Father about my bitterness and resentfulness that I carry against people. The youngest son, that's me. I know all I wanted to do was get out of the house as soon as I graduated. My hometown is really small, and everyone is related in some form or fashion. I wanted to be on my own with no one telling me what I could and couldn't do. I'll tell you a story related to this. April 23rd of this year, Doug had already left for the church. Ashley and I had just gotten into a heated argument, and she said, I can't wait to get out of this house. Well, it just sent me off, and I began to fume over it. I drove the girls to church, dropped them off at the front door, and went back home in tears. I just didn't know what to do. She is so much like me in so many ways. Well, everyone is calling my cell phone and the house phone, and my stubbornness won't answer. I just want to be left alone. I went home and cleaned the house. Those of you who know me, you know I hate cleaning. My great husband does all of the cleaning. Doug and the girls came home after Sunday school. I just wanted to be left alone. This, of course, made things even worse, because when I get in my moods, I shut people out of my life. I didn't talk to Ashley for a week. Here I am, being bitter and resentful. I really had a hard time with her saying what she said. One message left on my cell phone was from Lori, and all it said was Joshua 1, verses 5 through 9. Let me read it to you. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Well, my pigheadedness didn't want to hear that or even read it that day. I wanted to be the oldest son. Who cared? I was hurt. The next Sunday was April 30th, and Roberta was in charge of the service. Doug made us come in one vehicle, so I couldn't leave again. That morning, I just didn't feel right coming into church. Yes, I had already started talking to Ashley again, but I felt inadequate to come to church. In Sunday school that morning, I had to learn about loving people that are irritating, imperfect, and frustrating. Then I had to go to church. I didn't sing in praise that morning. I wouldn't have been praising my Father. Then the service starts, and we start to read the prayer of confession. I will just read Roberta's parts. Thank you, Roberta, for allowing me to use your words today. The circle of love is repeatedly broken because of the sin of exclusion. We create separate circles, the inner circle and the outer circle, the circle of power and the circle of despair, the circle of privilege and the circle of deprivation. The circle of love is broken whenever there is alienation, whenever there is misunderstanding, whenever there is insensitivity and a hardening of the heart. The circle of love is broken whenever we cannot see eye to eye, whenever we cannot link hand to hand, whenever we cannot live heart to heart and affirm our differences. That brings me to the father of the story. That Sunday that I didn't want to be in church was my Heavenly Father's way of telling me that this is where I belonged and needed to be. That all was forgiven for the previous week by Him. Honestly, for me, it took longer. I was in this sanctuary to know that my Father in Heaven loved me whether or not I wanted to love Him at that time. I really tried fight to listening and reading anything that day. As some of you know, Lori is not only my friend and spiritual mentor, but she is also my boss. She knows me pretty well. She left me alone when I wanted to be left alone at work. But 3 days after that service, she just came to my desk and stood there. She looked at me and I just started crying. I told her that the Lord was working on me and I was trying to fight Him. I like being in control, and it's very hard to give up that control and hand it over to our Heavenly Father. I told her that my past week experiences may work their ways into my sermon for Father's Day. She informed me that Heather had told her that same thing. I am still learning how much my Heavenly Father loves me. I still find it hard that He could love someone like me, especially my past, my stubbornness, and pride. I hope that both my girls, Ashley and Rena, will learn that our Heavenly Father will always be there for them, even when their mom starts to act like the oldest son. Our Heavenly Father is always waiting for us to come to Him, not just during trials and tribulations, which for me, I am still growing and have a tendency to go to the Lord when I am going through my trials and tribulations and not when things are going good. I did, though, for the first time turn to the Lord during graduation and the party that followed that Saturday. I gave it all to Him by just saying, "I put this all in your hands. I can only do so much to make people happy." Doug will tell you that I did good. I didn't have my usual meltdown. At least not yet. You know, our earthly fathers do the best that they know how. Some of us had dads who showed a lot of emotion. Others had dads who were physically abusive. And others had dads who didn't know how to show emotion. But you know, our Heavenly Father is always there waiting for us to come walking down that road. And when He sees us, His arms open up and He welcomes us back home. It took a lot for the prodigal son to come back to his father, because at that time, what he did was disgraceful, but yet his father was very glad to see him. And our Heavenly Father is no different, no matter what we mess up. He is always there for us, welcoming back those of us who are lost. Isn't it great to know that we all have the same Father and He loves us all equally? It doesn't matter what our backgrounds are. He loves us just as we are, stubborn, selfish, and prideful. Let me end with a story that was given to me. This is part of a sermon from Dennis Jones. When we get lost, it is identical with the son's departure from his father and being separated from the father in a faraway land. Many times we get lost in a faraway land, but by the love of the Father, we can come back home and are forgiven by coming back home with repentance in our hearts. It is said that each time a sinner comes back home, the angels in heaven rejoice. Too many times we seem to think that we can never be forgiven for what we have done. Like I told my son one time before I turned my life over to God, "Son, you don't know where I've been. I've sinned too much." But his reply was, "But Daddy, you don't know how much God loves you." Jesus seldom called people sinners. He called them lost. In Matthew 18, verse 11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." God knows that we are going to make a mess of things. If we didn't, we wouldn't need Him. I don't know about you, but I need Him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for our earthly fathers. I thank You for my daddy. He did the best he knew how to do. I thank You for showing me that I do relate to the oldest son. Lord, I ask You to forgive me for the way that I act towards people when I get hurt. Help me to find a better way to react. Help us all to understand that all fathers are different, but You are always the same, just waiting patiently with Your arms open wide, waiting for us to accept Your love. Amen.